Welcome everyone. This is Dr. Kynes and this is What Matters with Dr. Kynes. I love to interview some very special people that I want the voice of to be heard and shared because they have incredible stories and the stories of hope and resilience and the hearts. We need the heart, we need the healing, we need the hope. So I need those stories told. And today I have a very special guest, a dear friend right now, no longer needing me, which means that I did my job. Kate, welcome to our interview. So let's talk. So we go way back when. I want you to tell the story of, you know, how you struggled and how long and why and where you are in life right now. I have some memories of our work together over the years, so I'll piggyback on what I remember. And I think a lot of women will really connect with your experience and your trauma going through certain medical conditions and misdiagnosis and pain and some things that you grieved because you lost in your life. And just how happy your life is right now and how stable and how I believe this is supposed to be this way. And we all have the right for that. So with that, how did we meet? We met a long time ago when I did a detox program way back in Baltimore, and you and your girlfriends and your mom drove all the way from West Virginia. What was it? 2 hours plus away to the workshops?
Depending on traffic. On traffic, it could have been an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, so that's a commitment, ladies and gentlemen. And you had some gut issues and challenges long term, and we worked on that, and we had a lot of fun with foods, and it was all hands-on. And, you know, one of the things that you had that I don't see these days, which was amazing to me, was that you had a couple of girlfriends, long-term girlfriends. As you grew older, you had children, you were neighbors, you cooked together. Even in a program, you would take turns with big soup. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm mm-hmm. doing this. I think we lost this, this tribal support in this culture in particular because we move so much. Maybe COVID has changed that. But I remember this was an amazing support system. Here's what happens. A few years after the detox program, I get a desperate email from Kate saying, I'm tanking. I am so sick. I need some help. And so one of the best things that you did was that when you were getting sick and you were not sure what was going on, you had a functional practitioner, like functional doctor somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do have a functional practitioner. Yep.
Exactly. And they did the testing. So, and immediately depression, weight gain, mm-hmm. you know, all the common symptoms of thyroid, you know, like fatigue, were red flags. So your doctor tested you for thyroid as well, including the antibodies to Hashimoto's, which is brilliant, and NEBV, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so, I was already working with EBV and I had known you so many years and then I had no idea about that history. Tell us a little bit about the history before we actually realized you had EBV at that point when you were thinking, you were dying actually. And you didn't tell me that at the time. You were telling me about that after you healed and you were fine. You said, you know, I thought I was dying. I was like, that's pretty serious. So let's back up because a lot of people don't understand that they've had different presentations of EBV over the course of their life. And it's misdiagnosed, undiagnosed, mm-hmm. mistreated. You may have wrong medications. And so you have some losses in your life because of that. Would you walk us through those earlier years?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I got sick when I was 14, and I was having very severe joint pain all over my body, and rashes. I would get like rashes there too. And these things would come and go. I had extreme fatigue. I just felt miserable. I was very depressed. And we would go into the doctor, but whenever we went to the doctor, I didn't have any symptoms, mm-hmm. right? So they didn't know what was going on. We made so many trips to the emergency room, and I think they thought that my mom had Munchausen syndrome because, like, she was bringing me in, and they didn't see anything wrong with me. And she's like, I swear, she had a rash, she had pain, you know? I mean, it was just crazy. So they would, like, prescribe things for me. And I was going to so many, like, to the emergency room, seeing so many doctors there. I was seeing specialists here. I saw my GP. And they were just medicating me and medicating me and medicating me and not looking at what anyone else was prescribing. So I was on, like, double and triple amounts of what I should have been on. So meanwhile, I'm lethargic. I'm not going to school because I can barely move. It hurts to move. I can hardly keep my eyes open. And so that's very depressing for someone who's 14 years old, right? So I missed 6 months of school freshman year and 3 months sophomore year. And I did finally snap out of it. We worked with a nutritionist. I worked with a nutritionist and I did some riding, like an exercise bike, some gentle exercise, and sort of changing the way I ate. And eventually it started to recede some, right? But they still didn't know what was wrong with me. They thought it was juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, mm-hmm. but they didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, they told me I had asthma. I don't know that I've ever really had asthma. I think I was just so fatigued and my body was just so out of shape and struggling. I remember this one time they gave me a shot of theater and it just got my adrenaline going. And like, I thought I was going to explode. Like my heart was pumping so fast. It was like they induced this very severe anxiety attack because I was already on like some other form of theater, I think. And so it was just like three times the amount that they should have pumped into my body. I mean, it was a mess.
I think about how important it is when you're
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say, I have tiny rollaway veins. And so they were always sticking me with needles, trying to take more blood and figure out what was going on. And clearly they never looked for the right thing because nobody ever even brought up mono. Nobody ever even thought about it, right? At one point they had to take blood out of my jugular. And that was just absolutely terrifying for a 14-year-old girl. And they wouldn't let my mom in the room because she was not happy. I was not happy. I mean, it was very, very traumatic.
Oh my God.
So I missed those formative years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrible. And then you're depressed and you're missing that social interaction. I felt like everybody had forgotten about me at school. Yeah. You know, I think there was one or two people that maybe called me once or twice over the course of 9 months, but it was like I had disappeared. They called me the invisible student. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter maybe that much in college, but when you're in high school, like if you miss 6 months, it's like you're missing your life. That connection, the group is moving forward and bonding mm-hmm. and you're missing. It's so, so important. So there's a lot of grief and you can't really reconnect with them when you come back. So.
Right.
So, and a lot of that I didn't even know about you, even though we had worked together, you know, on very different things.
Yeah.
And then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, the thing is that even when if the virus attacks your thyroid, which is what happened when you were adult, when you reconnected with me, then if we hadn't gone after the virus, which we did, if we had only focused on the thyroid, we would have a losing battle too, because this is what was triggering the autoimmunity. And you may not know, but we have an epidemic of low thyroid in women in America. And if you look at research, 90 to 95% of low thyroid is actually not low thyroid. It's actually autoimmune thyroid. And so many women, when doctors test their thyroid, they skip the antibodies. Your doctor knew better. So we already knew, like we saved so much time just because the doctor did the right things. And so, but now you also said when you went to college, you would put on like 20 pounds and get depressed. And I think you couldn't do the final exams. So you had those bouts.
Yes. Yes. It was still up and down. My weight was just up and down throughout high school and college. I think because of this very much, because it's, you know, as I would get stressed out, because I do have perfectionist tendencies, I would get overstressed and that would cause it to flare up, but I didn't know what was happening. Right. I just thought it was stress and anxiety and it was just wearing me out. And I would not want to, I would just want to give up. Right. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to deal with it. Because all I wanted to do was sleep. So yeah, I never had the joint pain and the, like the skin discoloration after that, but it was just the fatigue and the depression and the weight gain, that just was thrown completely out of whack. And so, and they did actually tell me that's when I was diagnosed with a low thyroid when I was in college. Right. So, but nobody ever looked for Hashimoto's. Nobody ever looked for EVV. It was just like, oh, low thyroid, we'll put you on a pill. You'll be on this the rest of your life. So, I mean, that's
exactly,
just
what it is. That's exactly what happens.
So, yeah. So it was just a cycle. It was just up and down, up and down.
And so, you know, when we worked on the EVV, I always know you as the most sparky and joyful and just fun loving and positive person, bubbly. And you know, so some of the stories you would tell me about how you felt, really, I couldn't relate to because this is not who I knew you as. But we commonly hear in people, this is not like me. I'm not myself. The anxiety, for example, what is it? This, I'm not an anxious person. I'm not a depressive person. And sometimes women have suicidal thoughts. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, which you had too, right? At a certain point.
Yep. Yeah. When I was in high school, I was suicidal. Yeah.
And so what was now, I want to share with our people. When you really got sick the last time, what happened at work? There was this one person, right? One person.
Yes.
The work was, and you are a high achieving professional, lots of responsibilities. You've always delivered, like you said, you have the plight of a type A personality, overgiver, perfectionist.
Yes.
Just welcome to the community, of course, because EVV community is like, we have a joke. Let me tell you, if I haven't told you that before, it's welcome to type A perfectionism, overachiever, anonymous, international club.
That's right.
Let go of that. Let go of that.
Yes.
So here's, you know, this high, strong job position and responsibilities, and you have a team person. Or was she over you?
It was, our company was acquired by another company. And so she was doing my job at the company that bought us. And I think she was threatened by all the success that my team had had. And so she was very confrontational, right off the bat, right? And she was not just confrontational with me, but also with my team members. And mama don't play with that. You don't mess with my team, right? So, yeah. So it was very stressful. Plus just the acquisition and just not knowing job security, and like somebody on my team had been laid off. And
yeah,
I mean, I think it's a common story in corporate America, but you know,
that's exactly why I want to bring it on, because, you know, and I teach our students, there's stressors, and we can say, you know, shit happens, pardon my language, right, but we are in such stressful and pressure-driven environments at work, and we're constantly threatened by, am I going to lose my job? You know, she was threatened in that. You were so good, she could just lose her job, obviously.
Right.
And so we live often in an environment that is highly stressful, and stress is the number one reactivating factor for EBV. You can have all the ducks in the row, but if stress pulls you down, throws you on your back, the virus will come. It's a great opportunity for it. So, and especially if it's a deep personal stress, like this was a, stress related to your integrity, your team integrity. People are being harassed. You know, it's like you're not being respected, and then you don't have support from superiors to actually give you the protection that you guys deserve. So it's almost feeling like you're being, deceived, or you're not being, you know, you're on your own. And this is the hardest kind of stress.
Yes. Yes.
When you feel that there's lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
And so.
And that was very much it. Lack of trust.
That was very much it. Yeah. That's, do not underestimate what stress can do when you feel like you're trapped and you don't get the support you deserve. And so this is where the EBV really came, when the famous sentence that you told me, we had that conversation. I didn't know what pink slip meant. And you said, you know, I thought, what was it, in your 40s, and my body was ready to give me the pink slip, and I was dying, and that was it. There wasn't any way out.
Yep.
So now tell me what your life is now like.
Well, so now, at that time, I was a director. I've recently been promoted to a VP. I have had some great success with, just in work. Otherwise, I've achieved some good things. My company is now building a commercial division around me and what I do, which is great. We have put an addition on the house, and so that we're ready, because in 5 years, my husband and I are going to retire and hopefully do a little traveling and go for walks and, you know, just spend time together, enjoying each other, enjoying our kids, enjoying our grandkids. So it's just all really coming together. So I'm super, super excited and very, very grateful. Yeah.
And this is like, you have the second grandchild now, right? Was it?
Yes.
Too young to be a grandmother.
Yes. I'm not really.
Not really. So yeah, I wanted to check with you and share where you are right now, because, you know, you and I had that conversation before. I really believe it's our birthright to be well, respected, to have the job you love.
Yep.
And then to look forward to things, build an addition, look forward to retirement, to traveling, going for walks. The EBV is not even, there's no fear, there's no anxiety. When people first find the book or figure out that they may have the EBV, the first thing that happens, Kate, is they have no concept of that they could have their life back.
Right.
Because, like in your case, there have been so many years, sometimes 30 years, sometimes the whole adult life.
Yep.
And they lose trust because they've talked to so many doctors, including functional doctors, and it just haven't been helped. So it's sometimes hard to remind them you will. You just need to step forward, take a leap of faith. Take that first step, trust that it can happen to you as well. And so that's the hard part is not that the EBV, you know, you work with EBV. That's the predictable virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty predictable once you know what to do, and we have all that.
Right.
It's the human element of being scared, being completely overwhelmed and anxious, not knowing.
Right.
This big abyss of darkness and what's next and what is what, and you know, and so people need tools when they know, okay, this is EBV and this is not an EBV. Oh, this is just I skip lunches.
Right.
Oh, that part. Oh, that was really bad. Now I eat lunch at this time and I feel so much better. And then you
right.
build those. So suddenly your life starts rearranging itself because the body is our best ally. We mm-hmm. just need to know what the body really needs, right?
Yes.
And so what is so beautiful about you that I always appreciated is you had so many gut issues. Limitations, and you were so dedicated when we did the detox program, when you learned all those things, and you and your girlfriends, we were cooking, just the commitment was so unbelievable. And so when you got so sick, you were so exhausted.
Yeah.
Like you said, one step at a time, a little bit, inch, yes. inch.
I remember like sitting here at this very desk, like I couldn't even sit up straight, just like that. You know, and you're like, okay, this week your homework is to take a warm bath with Epsom salts and you know, the other stuff. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. Right. Like anything more would have just been too much to try and attempt right where I was. So yeah.
The only thing that you didn't get at that point was the community. It was just me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, the first thing that I noticed about a story like yours is that you were completely alone in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you didn't have a reference frame like, oh, there's 20 other women and they totally had the same issue. Like they totally get me. It's like they hold that space for me. So that was, you know, this is why I had to close my 101 and open groups, because we have that community now. And by the way, are you in it already?
Am I in? No,
in
I don't think
Facebook
I.
Group.
No, I don't think so.
Don't we need so. To invite you.
Okay.
Invite you. Yes, you are our okay. alumni. So yes, so this is it's a big tragedy, but now when we heal, and this is the best part of it, animals are like this as well. When we heal, we forget.
Right.
And we live in the presence and the joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we want.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Do you think that you healed that part of you, the grief of the things you couldn't do when you were growing up, or the doctors, all that pain of not being helped, and then college? Do you think you still have pain around that?
I think there's probably some of it, because I don't remember a lot of it, right? And I don't know.
Blocked out.
Yeah, I think there are some things that I blocked out, but you know what, the way I look at it is I'm in a really good place right now. I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky. And that was all part of the road that took me here, right? Life is a journey. So really, would I go back and redo anything? No, I don't think I would, because it all brought me to you. It brought me to this place that I am now. And, you know, life is good.
You know, Nelson Mandela, how old was he when he became the president, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
He was retired. He was, you know, he was in his 80s, I think.
Oh my gosh.
70s at least, but I think 80s.
Yeah.
And, you know, luck doesn't have much to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just today's conversation is about hope, about showing up, and about committing.
Yep.
And that's what you always did. I always know you this way, even though you were so overwhelmed and so stressed out and so exhausted the last time around.
Right, yeah.
And it's, and exactly, that's just this was a journey, but the thing is that you have this solid brick house.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane, flood, you know, it's hard to damage a house like that. It's not made of plaster.
Right.
It's your immunity, you know, you have that foundational house. And so you're invincible. So yeah. The most important thing you have is the gift you give to yourself of peace and lack of anxiety about the future of your health.
Right. Yeah.
Because you built it and you know it and you tested it. And like, what happens if you go slide down a few days and you know your symptoms? Because mm-hmm. during this journey, you learn your symptoms.
Right. Yeah.
You start creeping up. You go into panic.
I don't. No. I pay attention to it though, right?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, did I miss breakfast this morning? You know, have I not had my smoothie yet? Oh my gosh, it's 3:00. I haven't had lunch, right? Or, you know, maybe, I didn't sleep well last night. So you kind of pay attention to it and look for other possible reasons. But if it's like more than a week that I'm feeling that, well, then I'm going to start ordering some supplements and make sure I've got all my antiviral foods there, right?
Yeah.
So I know what to do now, right? And I've got that book behind you in my kitchen. It's always there. Yep, exactly. It's always there. So I've got it to refer to. I mean, I don't have to memorize it. I just go look at the book and my notes from our sessions, and I know how much to take of what, and we're good to go.
You're good to go. Yeah, and you have empowerment, and you trust your body, and
yeah.
you know that the body's giving you the right feedback because you've learned to listen. And
right.
so there's no anxiety and fear because the body is understandable.
Right.
And will tell you.
Right.
And if you're
always working for us, right? It's always working.
Yes, it's always yep. working for us, but we're listening now, and you
yep.
like, oh yeah, I skipped. Like, if you are overworking and not paying attention and you start skipping lunch or skipping meals or not sleeping, and any person will start sliding. But if you have history of EBV, it's a great opportunity for the virus to come back.
Right.
An opportunist.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. So, you know, we're hosting the virus forever.
Mm-hmm.
Just how it is. But yes, so... you know, your story is so inspiring, and I hope many women will hear it, and many people will think, you know, it's possible, I will trust, I can get better.
Mm-hmm.
And the virus is not this terrible monster that you can't beat. Oh, that's not true at all.
Right.
That is not true at all.
Yep. Yep.
It's a virus.
No, it's not the end.
It's not the end. It's just the beginning, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like it's a computer virus. A computer mm-hmm. virus is predictable. It has certain mechanisms, on, off, you know, it's
right.
And we're smarter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with our toolkit. We know what we got.
Our toolkit. Yes. And the last thing that I want to rub in your nose is the joy factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's living your life when you have your heart open.
Yep.
When you do what you love, hang around yeah. with your grandchildren, hang around with your son,
mm-hmm.
who has grown up so big. I was surprised last time. I said, who is he?
Yeah, he enjoyed your comment about his muscles. He was like, oh, yeah, you've been working on that.
And so share with us what really gives you joy. What gives you joy in your life?
My family gives me joy, definitely. My son, my stepdaughter, our grandchildren, my husband, he's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a good one. I love reading. I love yoga and meditation. I love going for walks. Cooking. I love cooking. I do batch cooking on the weekends, so I've got lots of healthy options. Yeah, mm-hmm. to eat during the week. So yeah, those are all the things I love. I'm just a homebody. I want to be at home with family and, you know, building our future. So.
Yeah. And you're going to travel. I'm definitely going to travel and have fun. And that's the way it should be.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's the way it should be. And so I am just so thrilled to hear where you are right now. I remember, I won't forget, because we've known each other so many years. And so,
yes.
And so we got rid of VBV and you were doing fine. And then I think 2 years later or 1 year later, I get a Christmas card from you. It's like, I'm still doing great. Just saying hello with your beautiful family. It's like, oh, this is what we want. We want this pain of EBV to end. This is what life is supposed to be. So, but the component of this journey is not luck. It's just that you showed up and you just didn't give up one step at a time, even with your face on the desk.
Right.
Yeah, you can do that. Yes, exactly. So, so I am just always impressed and always inspired. And I hope this is finally the time when your story can be heard and inspire other women who are in a dark place right now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There is light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. and it is not an oncoming train. It's just hope.
Yep. Any final word that you want to share with our community, with anyone today?
Just keep the faith, love yourself, take care of yourself, and be kind to yourself. Be gentle. If you just take it one little step at a time, like just adding a bath to your routine once a week, you know, that's good enough. So, you know, just stick with it.
Yeah. Kate, I love you very much. I'm so proud of you. You are just a shining light, and I just love to see you happy and mellow, just like you always are. So thank you for coming and contributing and sharing.
Thank you. I love you.
For the greatest good. And may this conversation help a lot of people out there that are hurting. Thanks.
Thank you.